Every Tuesday, we check in at City Hall, and our guest this afternoon is the mayor of the city of Bloomington. It's our great friend, John Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. Thank you for the sunshine today.
Well, it's nice to be with you. I learn something every time. 80 and 7, those are the highs and lows, huh, for the state.
The records,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't want to break records. We just want to be a little bit above
in the
average.
Middle.
Right. Yeah. We don't need wild swings in anything in life, do we? Stock markets, viruses. No, we don't want wild swings at all. But it seems like, and Jim Inman's news was telling us, that we're going to move the vaccination site from the Monroe County Convention Center down to the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And here we are, it seems like, with good news. I just saw an email from the MCCSE. They are going to stay in phase green the next time they're, what do they call that, metrics committee. They will meet on April 6th. So I'm keeping fingers crossed, and hopefully everybody's keeping vaccinations in their arms, because we're moving in the right direction.
Well, we are. It's a good sign. You know, IU has stepped up and been ready to do vaccinations for a number of weeks. And of course, the big limiter is how many vaccine serums, how many vials you get delivered. And they have the capacity to move so many people in and out of Assembly Hall. It's a great location. It's a great partnership. They can, as much vaccine as we get delivered here, they'll be able to put into our arms. So that's a really good move, picking up from County Health Department, which ran that for a few months at the convention center. So, you know, the numbers continue good. The death rates, the hospitalization rates, the case rates. We continue to be nervous about the UK variant and what could happen. But so far, as I say, you know, it's like if you got your umbrella up and it's raining and you're staying dry, just keep that umbrella up for a little longer while the rain is falling. Don't take it down. We still need all the protections, but we're getting there, and it's encouraging.
Were you also encouraged by the CDC's new, regulations? What's the word I'm looking for here? Recommendations, for vaccinated folks.
Yeah, I mean, I think yes, I am. I'm not a health expert. I'm cautiously optimistic. We're in the place we did because people here are wearing masks. It's interesting. I hear from people traveling in other parts of the country who say they went up, you know, north and into Wisconsin, and nobody was wearing masks, and they go to different places, and it really matters that we have this good compliance here and people generally doing things. We don't see it universally here. I know people can see gatherings without masks, and I'll remind people we still have a 15-person limit in the city for social gatherings. You still need to wear masks, and you still need to distance if you're not living in a pod together, because we're not out of the woods. And, the same news stories I read about worries about over the next few weeks, the UK variant, which is rampant in Florida, and I'm glad IU's not doing a spring break to send a bunch of people down to Florida. So let's keep at it.
And let's be safer than sorrier. That's exactly right. We know our friends in Catalan here. I just saw that headline pop up on the newspaper. How important are they to, I guess, everybody? That's their work just doesn't stay here in Bloomington. That is really nationwide and worldwide.
Yeah, we should be really proud. You know, that company came out of Cook, our homegrown medical device manufacturer, spun off Cook Pharmica, that then got bought by Catalan 3 or 4 years ago. And when they bought it, they had 700 or 750 employees, and today they have 2,500 employees there on the near west side, and they are cranking out and packaging Johnson & Johnson vaccine to be sent all across the country, so including here. And it's really exciting to see all our homegrown folks like that making such a difference. And man, they're working 24/7. They're working hard, and we really appreciate their work on behalf of all of us.
Yeah, keep up the good work. Don't go knock on the door over there. They're not going to give you any. You have to get an appointment, just like everybody else has to. Governor Holcomb will meet with the media tomorrow. I know that he had a couple quick reductions. We went from 55 to 50 really quickly.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight on if he's going to keep lowering that? Have you heard any more about getting the rate of vaccinations? I guess everything went swimmingly at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the Johnson & Johnson. Now that'll move to Sellersburg and Notre Dame. Is more on the way? Do you guys get privy to that information at all?
I'm not really inside on that. I think, you know, what I would say, some folks may know that it's harder to get an appointment here in Bloomington than it is in some of the surrounding places where people seem to be lining up a little less energetically for shots. And I do think the key, we've now really done a good job, I think, of protecting against death by getting our older folks who are most at risk vaccinated. We now, for example, in this county, with the national program, I guess it is, teachers can
fantastic.
Jump into pharmacies, and that's great. So, you know, from my perspective, it's like, let's just get as many people as quickly as we can and make sure we use every dose, because we're just racing against time to try to get as many people in. And I appreciate, I don't know what the governor will do, but I think the key is just make sure we're using every dose that we get, and being really fair about it. And so far, I think Indiana's done a good job with that.
And trying to measure how many people, it's a lot. The more you open it up for, that means the system has a lot more people hitting the system, trying to get in to make reservations. So there's probably some, you don't want to know how the sausage is made all the time in some of these things. But it's just not as simple as it looks like on a 60-minute TV show. We know that. So the good news is everything went swimmingly. The Johnson & Johnson shot, if everything was perfect, we'd love to have that one because it's one and done. But
right. It's
okay to get the Moderna shot or the Pfizer shot.
Absolutely. I continue to, you know, I'm getting a shot in a week or so, and I think I'll get whatever they give me. And that's what we all ought to do. Again, remember, it's protecting each of us, of course, but the big benefit is getting as many of us with these vaccinations as we can, as quickly as we can, to keep the virus from having a foothold, so that we can have a summer and a fall that will be more like we imagine them.
And
what we want them to
can't
be.
Can't wait. So, yes, keep wearing your mask. Keep doing the right things. Get vaccinated, and hopefully, sooner than later, we will be on the up and up. Well, the last Tuesday we spoke with you, you had just come off your State of the City speech and gave us the roadmap of moving forward together and your three big points of emphasis. And you weren't real sure when you were going to announce your deputy mayor, but it was a couple days after we spoke. Let's talk about your new hire-to-be, and that's Don Griffin Jr.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. Of course, you know, you and many of your listeners know Mick Van Eisen well, who's been deputy mayor for 5+ years, and it's one of the toughest jobs in the city. I think it's very challenging to keep everything going and keep your mayor happy and keep your mayor keep the city government working. And with Mick's retirement, I've thought about and looked around, and I'm really pleased that a person with Don Griffin's skills and talent and commitment to the city is ready to step up. Don is he's a Bloomington native. He grew up here. His dad was actually a police officer in the department.
Oh, fantastic!
And then went into ministry, and he went to school here, and he's been a realtor in the realty business, started his own business almost 20 years ago. And so one thing about realtors, they know the city really well. They know people in the city really well. They know what people like in the city and don't like in the city. And Don also has just been extremely active in civic organizations, NAACP and arts organizations. And he's been the president of the Redevelopment Commission, and just a really talented, energetic, positive person who loves the city, and I'm really looking forward to working with him.
Did my application get lost in the shuffle?
Mike, I meant to call you about that. I mean, I guess it did. Yeah,
I didn't put
my
phone number on there. That's my fault. I thought this was an email deal. But no, in all seriousness, though, how did this candidacy come about? Did you, and if you don't want to tell me this, that's absolutely fine. Contact Don? Did Don reach out to you? Did you have a list of people? I know we kind of joked about it a couple weeks ago. It's like when if the coach isn't winning, you got a list of guys you always want to call up next and see if they want the job. Let our listeners know how this process came about.
Yeah, well, you know, I hire people regularly for running different city departments, and if you're hiring a fire department chief, or you're hiring a water operator, or you're hiring a parks department, you're pretty focused on somebody who's got some chops in that particular area. A deputy mayor is a little different. They really need to be a kind of all-around skills, people person, also management experience and love of a city and ability to speak and engage with people well. And So Mick and I have been talking about this a long time, and he was very involved in the process. I will just say this. I have found in my career that often the best people for a job aren't looking for a job. They weren't out there looking for a job. You go find them and say, this is an opportunity. What do you think about it? And we thought about numbers of people, and it's a tough job. I'm really pleased. I think this is a great fit for Don. I think it's a great fit for the city, and he'll overlap some with Mick for a little while, which will be good, and then he'll start in about April 25th or so. He'll take up the reins.
And the deputy mayor serves at the pleasure of the mayor. It's not an elected position, so if people are wondering how this came about, well, that's just how it works here.
That's right. It's a direct hire from the mayor.
Excellent. Was the list of candidates, did you go through an interview process, or did you just kind of have the feel of what you wanted for that position and Don checked those boxes?
Yeah, it was certainly there were interviews involved by me and some other people in city government and other conversations with other individuals involved. But it's kind of like a dating rather than a an application, formal application process, trying to see if this works. I'll work very closely with Don, and he'll work very closely with a number of other people who got to meet him ahead, and I think it'll work out really well.
And how important is it for him to be in now to get that time with Mick Renheisen? I mean, 35 years in parks and 5 years as deputy, 40 years of institutional knowledge. We know that that Mick can't share all that immediately, but this time frame, you have to be pretty happy you got a couple months here.
I am glad to have the overlap, and Mick's promised me he's not sticking around, and he's not changing his phone number, which is good because he could. But let me say also, I'm very proud and pleased. We have a wonderful cabinet of people who've been quite consistent over the last 5 years, who've got a lot of experience under their belts too, in human resources and finance and law and public safety and all these other areas. And so there's a great group of people that Don will be working very closely with, and Don's going to bring an outside new view, and that's good for an organization too, to kind of come in from outside and bring new ideas and reactions, and not necessarily just because we've done it this way for 5 years, maybe we shouldn't keep doing it. So it'll be a good new energy and new ideas, I think, too.
Well, that was my next question. So you've already jumped in there and taken that, because that's good, because it is different with, as we mentioned, Mick being a government lifer. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're right. You're bringing in someone that deals with government issues, knows how zoning and things like that work, so that's good. But 15 other departments, that's a big job. So we wish Don the best of luck and congratulations. So fantastic. And part of being the deputy mayor, 16, is it right? 16 departments?
That's what we say. That's
Woo!
Right. It's a lot.
Excellent. Last week, we also had a council meeting that ran into the wee hours of the morning.
Yes.
I had a chance to speak with Deputy Mayor Renheisen about that on Thursday because, well, a lot of people in the afternoon on Thursday weren't sure how that meeting ended or what went on there. Now that we've had a chance kind of to digest it over the weekend, Mayor Hamilton, what did we learn from that meeting besides, well, it went too long. We know that, but we also learned there's some very passionate people on both sides of the issue of where we're going to house the homeless.
Yeah, look, we do a city survey every 2 years, and we actually have another one coming out in just a few weeks that you'll hear about this week. And one thing is consistent in that city survey so far has been our community wants us as a community to help respond to challenges in affordable housing generally and homelessness in particular. And I think the whole community is a compassionate community on the whole and wants us to make progress and help people who go through that. And we do. Sometimes we get into arguments and we forget that every night in this city, 3,000 or 4,000 people sleep at night in a safe place because of the Bloomington Housing Authority and the programs that it runs. We forget that, every year this community puts many hundreds of thousands of dollars, tax dollars, local tax dollars, into supporting services for folks and incredible partnerships with local nonprofits. And so thousand, we have maybe a couple thousand people go through homelessness in a year, and the vast majority are helped back into housing. There is, in particular in this pandemic year, we've had real challenges with people going through homelessness, and the protocols of COVID protection mean some of our shelters couldn't hold as many people. With partnerships all across the board, stepped up, and we're now housing about 200 plus people per night in shelters, emergency shelters, to keep people safe, both from the elements and from COVID. And they've done it. The community has done a really good job. Now there's a debate that went 9 hours on Wednesday about whether there should be camps allowed or set up in public parks to help accommodate people who don't go to shelters or can't or won't go to shelters. And I made my view that I don't think that's the right use of a public park. There were other people who felt that should be the use of a public park, or at least a particular park or some part of a park. And there was a long debate about it. And that's a legitimate debate. I think the community should know I don't think many of us think a camp is the right long-term solution, but there are some who think it is the right short-term solution. And that was what the debate is about. But I think people should also know there's a really, really good work going on, working on how do we create affordability for people without becoming kind of an inappropriate magnet for people just to come into the city because we will find you a home. That is a burden that we really have to be careful about. It's really a regional response we need to be working on together.
And Mayor Hamilton, the other part of this is the disagreement factor. And if people on one side of this or the other side of it, I don't care which side it is. Part of your message in your State of the City speech was doing this together. And I'm not sure if we're going to bang on the table for 6 hours if that's the most best way to get this done moving forward. Is it keeping the dialogue alive? What do you think will help eventually solve this issue?
Well, Mike, that is a really hard issue these days. I mean, I've felt it kind of accelerating or worsening in the last few years, even months, and we've obviously seen at the national level some terrible episodes where kind of democracy and the ability to recognize we're all in this together just breaks down. And there's lots of reasons for that, and I won't go into all that, and there's, I'm sure, different views of why it's happening, but we feel it at the local level, and I do regret that I think there are a lot of people in the community who don't speak up because they feel worried that they will be criticized, attacked, disagreed with in very virulent ways and unpleasant ways. I know there are people who feel also that excessive civility, if you will, that excessive politeness is a way of shutting down other voices. And it's a really big challenge for democracy, because we have to respect each other's views, and disagreements are fine, but we also have to be respect that there are disagreements, and we have to work this out together. And this was an example where, you know, tempers get high and words get exchanged, and I don't think it really helps us move toward helping the people that we all want to help and making the progress we want to help. So I just have to try to keep encouraging folks to respectfully disagree when they disagree, but not to impugn motives. If you can assume a decent motive in another person, let's try to do that. That helps us. It helps us move forward.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He is not an epidemiologist, but I know you have a legal background. So the debate on Thursday night, did that end up in a vote, correct? And that vote was against the proposed ordinance. Where does the city council go from here, from a legal side, if they want to keep perhaps that fire burning?
Well, right. The 9-hour meeting ended up with a vote that did not pass the resolution ordinance that was proposed, which would have created parks as encampments in parks and allowed them and set up how they would happen and could be sustained over many months and all that. So that ordinance died. because it didn't get a majority vote, and it would have to be brought up again as another ordinance or another approach. I am hopeful that the council as a whole and individual members will continue to work with our partners, which I'm doing meetings every week with partners, and I have staff who are meeting every day with the partners trying to identify how to move forward. I spent time today just talking to one of the gentlemen who's homeless and has been an advocate for the homeless, and he's going to be moving into Kinder Flats. He's been staying in the Beacon shelter, the new shelter that opened up, which has been very helpful, and he said it's been really good, and he's going to be moving into an apartment in Kinder Flats. And that's what we want to have happen. We want people get into housing so they can, you know, get their lives moving in the right direction. So that's where the real rubber meets the road, and where people are working real hard these days. Again, regionally, because look, Bloomington can't create a solution that then means if you're from Spencer or you're from Bedford or you're from Clinton that you just come to Bloomington and say, find me housing. That's not a long-term sustainable approach, too. We have to work with all of our regional partners to help people live in their home communities, you know.
Yeah, and just trying to manage that aspect of it is one thing, and I could go on for another 45 minutes about how just the management of it all would be interesting, to say the least. And all right, so we'll keep an eye on this. We know that the situation, and we know that it's not going to resolve itself tomorrow, next week, or next month, but open dialogue, and everybody's still following this. We'll keep an eye on that with you as we roll along here in springtime. Well, it'll almost be springtime. Speaking of council business, I look outside. Let me do my magic trick. Let me see if I can get us up to 68 degrees. Let me see how that works. Refresh, and no, still 67. If we're going to close Kirkwood with Bollards and do outdoor dining again, that's part of go through a process as well, correct?
Yeah, that'll formally go through the Board of Public Works, which is a group of three residents who oversee that, and the council has approved that process. And I expect that will happen. It may happen kind of late next month. We're working with the merchants who are trying to figure out how to make this work, and you know, we don't want to do something that they don't want to do to help them thrive. But I would look forward next month to see some opening along Kirkwood, like we had last year, to help people get outdoor dining.
And the reason I bring that up is because yesterday and today has been so very nice, and people with, well, why don't you close it today? Well, it's the merchants that come to you for that, correct?
Yeah, and they need to plan. They need to plan shifts. They need to plan how they want to do it. We don't. If we closed it and the merchants weren't interested, everybody kind of say, why did you close this road? There's nothing happening here. So it's a coordinated effort, and we're talking with them regularly and really letting them take the lead on how they want to use that space. And, you know, you see parklets. There are already parklets happening, and there's pickup drop-off zones that are there again. And, you know, we're doing that to try to help people enjoy downtown. And it'll keep evolving, so stay flexible.
And stay patient, because Mother Nature is going to give us a little bit of a tease here. Then we'll cool off a little bit next week. And, yeah, so we'll just have to – well, you got St. Patrick's Day and spring break and the NCAA tournament, and everybody's excited. Well, you should be excited. Just be smart when you're doing it. And speaking of smart, you're handing out $100 bills. That's pretty smart.
Well, you know, getting a vaccine is really important, and I felt as an employer, we've announced just last week we're going to be – just like we give people reimbursements for when they go to the gym membership or when they stop smoking or various things, wellness, it's absolutely a wellness step to get a vaccine. So we are going to provide $100 benefit to anybody who gets a vaccine in city government. And I hope other employers might think about it. You talk to your radio station. I think they should do that too, Mike.
Let's line me up. Let's go. I need vaccination first. Good news is I have not met the age requirement yet. but I'm game. Whenever it's time to go, I will get in line and do that. The city has garden plots available, and when it's 67 degrees outside, we should be talking about gardening.
You know, people have gotten into gardening in a big time way. We have 200 plus, I don't think it's 300, but these garden plots you can rent, and most of them are gone. So if you want one, to rent one for the season, get in touch with Parks, because last year they all got used up. People getting out, growing things, and there are a few dozen left, but not too many. So I wanted to warn people about that. And then, last thing, if I can,
please,
Mike, also just mention a wonderful tradition are the Be More Awards, which is an annual award that we do for people in the city who are extraordinary volunteers or organizations that are doing great work. And we've sure seen a lot of great volunteers and organizations this past year. The award nominations close this week on Friday. So if you know of a person or an institution who you think deserves special attention and acclaim this year, please nominate them this week.
Yeah, go online and do that, or call my friend Lucy Shake at the City of Bloomington's Volunteer Network. Lucy joins us on Mondays to keep us between the yellow lines. All right, two more things, and I'll get you out of here, I promise. Number one, what are we calling the new hospital project site? I had a phone call with somebody yesterday who used to live here and said, hey, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to call that? Who's in charge? And I said, don't worry, I'll ask Mayor Hamilton on the air tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we need a better name than the future former hospital site, you know. And we don't have a name yet. That is one of the targets of a group of folks who will be thinking about what we want to call that neighborhood. So if you have ideas, shoot them my way. Send them to my office. Call me. Let us know, because that master plan is now done, and the hospital is planning to move in fourth quarter this year. There'll be demolishing going on next year, and we'll be you'll start to see some rebuilding going on there. We hope redevelopment.
How long does it take to knock down a place of that size?
How much money you got? It takes a while.
That's a great answer.
It takes
fantastic.
A while, but it'll be months, I think.
That, all right. I'm picking up what you're laying down. Gotcha. All right, the UDO, that's the last one I have for you, and I promise you can go outside and enjoy the sunshine.
Unified Development Ordinance, which is a big step for the city to update our zoning. There's a lot of changes that are pretty technical, and then there's a new map and questions of plexes and density and where that happens. And all that starts tonight at the Plan Commission. They begin probably about a month of consideration. Those are all residents who run that Plan Commission and represent all of us. And then they hand it off to the City Council probably in April to pick those up. And it's really how we kind of plan the physical development of our city. Big steps.
Big steps. All right. Well, I'm glad you're here every week to help me take those big steps, and with Deputy Mayor Renheiser. And for the time being, that's always good. We've got you covered on Tuesdays and Thursdays on City Government. Mr. Mayor, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I hope you can get out and enjoy it.
You too, Mike. Thanks a bunch. Have a good week.